I just got "Be Exalted" going through my head again. You want to just jump back in a little bit? And just stand. Let's just sing that out again. I love getting to sing that with you. Second Timothy 1, verse 6 says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I just think there's so many moments when the gift just, it's a flame. That's that language, stir up. It's like stirring a flame. When the flame starts to go out, what do you got to do? You just start to stir it. You take the poker and you start to stir the flame. You get the flame going again. I feel like we got to get a little more stirred up today. I feel like that's what we came in with today. We're just, the flame is just, it's down a little bit, and we're going to get stirred up today. And then I felt 1 Timothy this morning, chapter 1, verse 18. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." I just believe he's going to teach us how to wage good warfare today. This is a church that won't be shipwrecked. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now. We just invite you in. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would speak, that you would move. Lord, we can't do anything to make you show up. But just by faith, we know it says where two or more are gathered, you're there in the midst of us. And so we just pray right now that you would just move and speak. And just by faith, we just declare right now, we know you're good, you're worthy, we praise you. And we just ask that you would reveal yourself to us. That where we've been blind to you in our life, that we just begin to see you, that we would see your hand, that we'd see how you've been moving. God, I pray for an increase in faith today in this room. That where there's been deception, where there's been religion, where there's been any other spirit other than you, I just declare right now, eyes will be open by your truth, by your word, that we just begin to see you and hear you and know how you're moving and what you're saying and speaking to this house today. Lord, we just want to honor you and walk with you all of our days, all of our lives. Jesus, may you be glorified in this moment. May you take anything from me that's not from you, and may you give me the words that you desire to be spoken to your house, to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. I've been in 1 Peter this week, 1 Peter chapter 5. "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's a shepherd. Scripture keeps using this terminology all throughout. Old Testament, New Testament. Shepherd, shepherd, shepherd. Lead the flock. Guide the flock. Care for the flock. People have been entrusted to you. Justin Carlson got up here and spoke about that. His kids have been entrusted to him. He and his wife are called to shepherd those kids. Who has God entrusted you to lead, to shepherd in this season? Not to lord it over them. You think the shepherd is sitting out in the field like, wow, look at all my followers. Look how great I am. No, like that's stupid, right? That's not the image of a shepherd. The shepherd is caring for the flock. He's watching over the flock. He's guiding the flock. He's leading the flock. There's too many shepherds that have exchanged the title of shepherd for CEO. They want to be a CEO of a nonprofit, of a big time corporation, a church, whatever. We're this 501(c). No, you're the church. I just keep coming back to that in this season. There's too many shepherds. I mean, they love the title, but they don't actually understand the calling. And I need you to know this. You can see it. I've been saying it for a long time. Revival, this is still just, we're in seed season. But if you have seed vision when you're in seed season, you can see where this house is going. Ooh, that's bright. Oh my goodness. Vision, we got vision in here. My goodness, Pastor Andrew, jeez. I don't know if that was you. You got to have seed vision in this season. Like some of you, it's just a seed and you're looking at it and you're like, oh, it's kind of small, it's kind of small. I've been telling you that. It's kind of small, it's kind of small. People walked in today and were like, I thought we were a small church. I can't even find a seat in here. There's a few. You can squeeze in. You can squeeze together. Listen, here's my encouragement. Get here early. We had the time change. That helped today. Get here early. Squeeze to the middle and squeeze to the front. Leave room in the back for new people that might be coming in. Some of you, you've been in this house for a while. You kind of know this. Get up here. Get near the altar. Get up here. Bring the heat. Bring the fire. Let's stir it up every morning when you show up. People are kind of shy sometimes. They just kind of stay back. Like it's like, I love my guy Johnny. Johnny's always coming to the front for worship. You can come to the front for worship. In fact, you know what? The other night at men's night, we had Sons of Thunder. I told all the guys, like I said, get out from behind the tables, behind your chairs, scoot all the way up. Get all the way up in here. Like lean in because we're going someplace together where he's called us. And like he's asking you right now in this season, lean into what I'm doing. It's just a seed, but where we're going, God has called us to tend the fire of revival in this city, to stir the flame. There's a revival happening in this city right now. People are looking. I was just talking to somebody last week at at Sons of Thunder again. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? I've lost all track. And I was talking to somebody, and he was just kind of sharing his story and where they were and what you know how things were. And he just said something was missing. Like they're at another church and they just kind of found their way here to revival. And he's like, something is missing. The Holy Spirit. Too many churches have squashed and quenched the breath and voice of the Holy Spirit in favor of the programs and processes and the ideas of the 501(c)s and the CEOs. And if we just copy what this church is doing, or if we do what this church is doing, if we just take what they're doing, we can copy paste. No, you can't copy and paste the breath of God. You cannot. You listen to him. You learn to walk in obedience to him, and he'll show you the way. He knew something was missing. It's the breath of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He is here, and he's speaking to his people in this season. He wants to pour out his voice, his words. He wants to pour out prophecy, visions, dreams. He's moving. Take hold of it. Got to have seed vision. I feel like teaching about shepherds today because there's many of you in here that God is going to entrust with people to shepherd and lead. There's many of you in here. He's already entrusted you and called you to lead where you're at, to begin to shepherd those people God has entrusted you with. I mean, I love what God is doing. I can see it in this house. I just see so many stories of people who are just shepherding and leading and loving the God, the people that God has entrusted to them in this season. And you're doing it well. Don't do it for the platform. Don't do it for the popularity. Don't do it for what can I get out of this. What is Peter saying there? Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain. Sometimes we do things, and it's, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? Reframe your mind. Retrain your mind. Not what can I get out of this, but how can I serve the king? How can I serve the king? How can I serve the chief shepherd? By shepherding those he's entrusted to you. In this season, it might be your kids, it might be your family, it might be some coworkers. I love that we got this young crew that comes, and they work in the bar scene, I think in Blackstone, and they just keep bringing all these young like bartenders and people that work at the bar with them, and I'm like, praise the Lord, like I love it. You're shepherding, like that's what you're doing. This is who God's entrusted you with. You're using it for the kingdom. Not for your gain, but for the kingdom. Where are you right now? Where can you shepherd? Where has he entrusted you to lead and watch over people? You have to understand, if you got seed vision, where we're going, we're going to need people to shepherd and oversee 50s, hundreds, thousands in this house. The same way Moses had to establish leaders. Right now, this is a room. I see leaders in this room. I see shepherds in this room who are going to shepherd the people that God brings here who are seeking his presence. And you're going to shepherd them along the same path that he's walking you along right now. Some of you are like, who am I? What can I do? What can I teach anybody? How can I disciple anybody? Just show them what he's shown you. Sometimes it's that simple. Just begin to teach them what he's teaching you. You don't have to be 50 miles ahead. You don't have to be 50 steps ahead. You could just be 5 steps ahead. But guess what? You can shepherd those who are 5 steps behind. Sometimes you discredit yourself and you disqualify yourself and you're like, I don't know enough. I don't have a Bible college degree. I haven't spent years in seminary. I know one verse. Jesus wept. That's it. That's 5 steps. There's somebody behind you that's walking 5 steps behind you that they don't even know Jesus wept. Teach them. Shepherd them. Love them. Encourage them. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're trying. We're moving forward by faith, chasing after Jesus. Chase him in this season. And encourage those following behind. Hey, just come with me. Just encourage them. Build them up. Sometimes we get so caught up in perfection. Well, I'm not good enough. I gotta achieve all this, and I gotta do all this, and I gotta get all my sin figured out, and I gotta get all my stuff figured out. It's like, no. Just keep walking forward. Keep chasing him. Keep learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. Look at this. As we go on here, chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So here's this challenge to the shepherds, to the leaders, to the overseers. There's many of you in here. You've been called to be a shepherd, called to be an overseer, called to be a leader. And then there's some of you in here. This is all kind of new to you. Likewise, you younger people. And some of you, you hear this and you're like, well, I'm not young. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 50s. Whatever. You can put an age on it. This word, younger, isn't about age. It's about freshness, newness. You could be 80 years old and it could all still be fresh to you. It could be brand new. You could have just said yes to Jesus last week. That's it. And so sometimes there's a little bit of a struggle with that. Sometimes we get to a certain age and we're like, I'm an elder in the church. Well, no. Have you passed the test God has given you? Have you been following him? And are you really walking with him? Like, your age doesn't qualify you. Are you hungry? Are you humble? Are you seeking him? Like, are you chasing after him? Are you stewarding well what he's entrusted you with, who he's entrusted you with? All these things qualify you to be an elder, an overseer, a leader. Age does not qualify you. Age does not disqualify you, but it does not qualify you. So some of you are in here and you're like, that pastor looks too young. I'm not going to follow him. That's fine. You can go find an older pastor down the street. That's fine. Go. But stay humble and hungry. Like, that's what the Lord is looking for. Stay humble and hungry. And if this is where he's calling you, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. I tell people all the time, if you can't be planted in this house and follow the leadership we've established, because some people might look at our house and be like, maybe you looked at our website and been like, their elders look kind of young too, but they call them elders. I don't know. They are kind of young. Justin Carlson got up here today. What are you, 36? 37? Wow, you're old, man. Jeez. And that might be hard for you, but this is a man that's been chasing after the Lord for a long time. And this is a man that's humble and hungry for the Lord, for his presence, for his word. There's things in him. Like, when you begin to go through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you begin to go through Titus, you look at the qualifications of elders and leaders, you begin to see, oh yeah, it's not, are you 60 years old? Are you 70 years old? Like, that's not in there. We can go look at it today if you want. We can go through all the scriptures. Age does not qualify. It does not disqualify. But are you humble and hungry? Are you chasing after the Lord? And are you meeting some of these markers that Paul lists out in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus? Shepherd the flock. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. So once again, if you feel like you're here, you try us. We do the 3-week challenge all the time. Try us for 3 weeks. If we're not the church for you, we'll try to help you find another church. We know lots of great churches in this town that are following the Lord, that love the Holy Spirit. We'll help you. But we tell people, try it for 3 weeks. If after 3 weeks you're like, no way, not for us, that's okay. We'd rather you leave, honestly. We'd rather you leave than stay here and sow seeds of rebellion and be like, oh, this is bad, this is bad. Like, we don't want complainers. Now, if you want to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, because guess what? Grumbling and complaining, once you begin to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, he's going to work grumbling and complaining out of you. So if you want to walk in this house and begin to submit to the Holy Spirit, submit to his word and what it says, eventually, I'm not worried about grumbling and complaining because he's going to work it out of you. You're not going to stay that way. You can't stay in this house for long if you're a grumbler or complainer because you're going to find there's nobody that wants to listen to me. There's not. Go ahead. Try talking to some of the people that have been in this house for a long time. Try grumbling, try complaining for very long. What are they going to do? They're going to say, hey, have you talked to that person? Hey, have you had that conversation? Hey, you're not happy with how things are going? Maybe you should go talk to them and stop talking about them. Shut up. Like, in the name of Jesus, we love you, but shut up. Like, that stuff, it's just not tolerated in the house of God. Because we honor him. We honor his word. And what's he say to do? Honor your elders. Honor your leaders. Honor those who are establishing authority above you. And if you don't like it, you can go and get planted in another house. There's lots of great houses. Get planted in the house that God is calling you to. But if it's here, come along for the ride, because I'm telling you, the seed that is Revival Christian Church here in Omaha, Nebraska, it's a blessing to be a part of. And you'll be blessed being planted in this house. You'll be blessed. Jesus blesses. Jesus came to bless, not to curse. He wants to raise you up in this season. He's raising up shepherds in this season who will chase after him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, who are hungry and humble and honest. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Humility is a choice. It's clothing. You put it on every day. It's easy to wear pride. We just naturally, we just wake up and we just want to wear pride. It feels good to wear pride. But to choose humility out of our closet, it's a choice to clothe ourselves with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you would just die to yourself and your desires, like, why is my life so hard? Why is my life so hard? Learn to die to yourself. God resists the proud. You are going up against the God of this universe. There's a resistance there. I keep trying to do my own thing. I keep trying to go my own way. I keep trying to make my way in this world, and nothing seems to ever go my way. God resists the proud. I'm not prideful. You're prideful. Like, you are. Like, it is. It's true. Like, if you think you're not prideful, you're probably prideful. That's not me. I'm the most humble person here. In the Midwest, we love to identify as humble. We're Nebraska nice. We're so humble here. I did it for years. I worked in a church. I worked in ministry. I did it because it was a part of my identity that I had built. It was a false humility because I wanted people to praise me and celebrate me for how humble I was. Did you catch that? Let me repeat it again. Let me repeat it for the people in the back. Like, you got to understand this. You're like, I'm humble. I'm so humble. People tell me all the time how humble I am. You have used humility as a form of your identity to take pride in what people say and speak about you. People tell me all the time how humble I am. They say, oh, Pastor Alex, you're so humble. You know? She laughed. I know. Like, I used to preach at this church I was at before. I'd get up and preach, and and people would come up after me and tell me how good I did, and I'd just be like, oh, shucks, it's not me. It was just this stupid false humility. It was so stupid. But it was my identity. I loved people to just be like, oh, I wanted people to just talk about, oh, he's so humble. It was a false humility. Now if people come up afterwards and, be like, oh, that was a good sermon. I'm just like, yeah, I know. It was awesome. Praise the Lord, right? Like, and some people are like, that's prideful. No. I'm prideful in the gift of God that he's given me because I know who he is and what he's gifted and called me to. I'm thankful for the gift, and I praise him for the gift. Sometimes people talk about sermon. People love to talk about sermons. After a sermon, they're like, man, that was a good one. Like, they say it like I've had bad ones before. That was a good one. That one was a good one. And then some people, those closest to me, will be like, I don't know. I don't know if I agreed with that one. I don't know if I liked that one. I don't know. And I just know. Like, I know because every Sunday since Revival began, and he's been teaching me to listen to his voice and submit to his will and preach what he wants me to preach and not what I want to preach, I don't care. I don't live for the praise of men anymore. I used to live for the praise of men. I used to live for that moment, for that 10 to 15 minutes after a sermon on Sunday, just to hear what people might say to me. Man, you did so good. You did so good. I used to call my dad after sermons. And I remember this. I'd call him and be like, did you get to watch the YouTube? Did you get to see it? Like, whatever. What'd you think? And it was always, oh, it was so good. Best thing ever. I lived for that. I lived for that. In this season of revival, he's just taught me to die to self. He's taught me not to live for the praise of men, but just to be obedient to him. Preach what he wants me to preach. Say what he wants me to say. Submit my tongue, submit my flesh to him to be a vessel, to be a tool for the word that he wants preached. It's fun. Because now, in this season, in some of our hardest moments, when my wife and I were first, you know, walking through this season in the early years, year one, year two, there were so many Sundays that we were just so far apart on what we thought had happened in the room. And we were just in different places at that moment. And I'd be like, man, that was a great Sunday. And then I'd come home, I'd be talking to her, and it'd be like, it's okay. It's all right. Felt kind of dark. You know, there was a lot of darkness in that season. But I just knew. I was like, I knew. He was just teaching me to die to the praise of men, even my own wife in that season. If even your own dad, if even whoever, your best friends, don't tell you, hey, it was a good word, it was a good message, whatever, can you be okay with just honoring me? And so he's taught me that in this season. It does not matter what the praise of men will tell you. Did you honor him? In every area of life, are you honoring him? There's going to be decisions you make in this next season. Are you honoring him? Your spouse, your friends, those closest to you, they might be like, what are you doing? This is crazy. Your family, they might be like, what are you doing? This is insane. This is stupid. Did he speak it to you? Did he confirm it? Did he tell you to do it? Does it honor him? Then it doesn't matter. Can you die to the praise of men? Humility. Humility in the Greek. It's the humiliation of the mind. We're spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is where the Holy Spirit comes and is joined. In 1 Corinthians, it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So now you have the mind of Christ in you, in your spirit. The soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings. That's your soul. Humility means the humiliation of mind. It's the word picture of lowly. Your mind, can you lower it and submit your mind in humility to the Spirit of God in you? Your spirit, your soul, your body. So often, we let our body, our flesh, drive the bus, or we let our soul drive the bus. Our body, we got a craving, right? We're hungry. We want something to eat. We go and we eat. We let the body lead. What's the body want? The body wants Raising Cane's. Go get Raising Cane's. The body wants Chipotle. Go get Chipotle. You let your flesh lead in that moment. It's a dangerous game. The body wants sex. Go get sex. Wherever you want it, whenever you want it, however you want it. But what's God's word say? You know in your spirit what God's word says. And you know in your soul, because the spirit is speaking to the soul, hey, don't let your flesh drive the bus right here. This is wrong. This goes against his word. Don't let it drive. But you give in to the flesh over and over and over again. Die to the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. But then sometimes your soul, you just think you know better. And you begin to do mental, spiritual gymnastics with what your cravings are in the flesh, and you begin to say, well, I've got grace. So actually, I think it's okay if I do this, if I feed this hunger, if I feed this desire. And then you begin to do these mental gymnastics, and you get to the point where actually you've said, well, this is just who I am. I was born this way. God created me this way. I identify this way. How can I change? This is who he made me to be. Humility is lowering your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings beneath the Spirit, submitting to the Spirit of God, asking, Lord, what do you desire? Lord, what do you desire? He's teaching you to listen to his voice. Some of you, he's been teaching this for a while now. Some of you, this is brand new to you. You are learning to submit to the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. You're a spirit, you're a soul, you're a body. Your soul, it's like your identity. It's who you are. It's what you want. It's what you desire. It's your experiences. It's your feelings. Submit your soul. Lower your soul, your mind, your desires beneath the Spirit. Honor the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, the comforter, the counselor. He is trying to teach you in this season. He's drawing your mind to Scripture. He's drawing your mind to a place of conviction and saying, listen, I have something better for you. Not to be saved, but because you've been saved. That's why we walk in obedience. Because his ways are better. And so we submit to the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we submit to him, he begins to produce fruit supernaturally in our life. And so you'll begin to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You'll begin to see those things. You're going to see that fruit growing within you. And it might just be small right now. It might just be a seed. Get seed vision. Don't be discouraged, but be like, man, I didn't do very good with my kids today. I didn't have a lot of the fruit of the Spirit yesterday. I didn't have a lot of joy. I didn't have a lot. But did you have more than a week ago, than a month ago, than a year ago? He's doing something under the surface in the soil of your heart. Trust him and keep learning to submit. Submit yourself. That's humility. When you submit yourself to his ways and say, Lord, your ways are better than my ways. Your ways are better than me letting the flesh drive the bus of my life. Your ways are better than letting my emotions and feelings drive the bus of my life. Submit to the Holy Spirit. He's good. He's for you, not against you. He's teaching us. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So three times here in this short little paragraph, he says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We got humility, we got humble. Therefore, humble yourselves three times. Humility, humble, humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. When you humble yourselves to spiritual leadership in your life, don't get so caught up in, oh man, I get it. I lived in false humility and a whole lot of spiritual pride for most of my life. And I just said all the time, like, I know more than this senior pastor. I know more than this pastor. I knew more than everybody that I worked with in ministry. I did. God put me like in that season to teach me to submit even when I hate it. Even when I don't want to, even when I disagree with the leadership structure that he had established. Can you learn to submit in a leadership structure? Some of you, you have to do this in your home. There's some wives in here. You have to learn to submit to the leadership structure of the home of husband and wife that God has established. He's teaching some of you in this season. Husbands, there's some of you. He's teaching you, not just all husbands, all men really in general. He's teaching you to submit to the leadership structure that is established in that place that you work, even though you know a better way to do it. Even though you're way more qualified to lead than your boss, even though your boss is the most inefficient, unqualified, disorganized person you've ever met, what's he teaching you? Submission. Because if you can learn to submit when it's hard, in the most difficult places, you can learn to submit in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, as you submit, you begin to see a fruitfulness that is supernatural and doesn't make sense and can only be explained by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you see that kind of fruit begin to be produced in your life, all of a sudden you can be like, oh, submission is beautiful. So submission is a gift from God. I'm not kicking against the nails anymore. The Bible describes, like some of us, it's like we're kicking against nails. Can you imagine that? Just like a board with nails pounded all the way through and the sharp ends are just out. And you're kicking against the nails, getting those nails into your feet, breaking your bones, piercing your skin. That is what some of us are doing because we walk in so much pride. Stop kicking against the nails. Humility, humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. What happens when you humble yourself? God raises you up. You keep fighting and striving to be raised up, to be elevated, to get to this certain place, to be heard, to have people listen to you, to have a voice, to be able to speak into different areas, to be respected. You keep fighting and striving for it, but if you would just humble yourself, God would actually exalt you in due time. He will raise you up in due time. But some of us are not patient. We want it now. And we actually are trying to, what are we trying to do? We're trying to manifest it. We're trying to make it happen when we want it, right now, and exactly how we want it. No. Just submit yourself to God, and he will raise you up and exalt you at the right time, in the right season, in the right position. Too many of us are trying to do things because we know the word and the promises of God, and we know, well, God's word says this. So if I do this, then I'll get this. And if I give this, then I'll get this. And I'll get it when I want it and how I want it, and it's going to look exactly the way I dreamed it would look. So many times in my life, I had a dream and I had a vision of where I thought I was going, what I thought my life was supposed to look like. And so many times, he would actually replace that with something similar, but not what I had really been hoping for or dreaming for. But as I stepped into it, I realized, oh, this is better. This is actually from him and not from my own power, my own strength, my own will. And as I've learned to just steward every season what he gives me, I've found that there's more satisfaction, more contentment, more joy in submitting to him and trusting him. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's an enemy. There's a devil. He is seeking to devour you, to steal, kill, destroy your life. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He cannot, first of all, he walks around like a roaring lion. Does he actually have the power and authority of the lion? No. He pretends to be a lion. He tries to walk like a lion. There's one lion, the Lion of Judah. There's one lion. There's one lion. He walks around like God. He pretends to be God. He is not God. Seeking whom he may devour. He needs permission to devour. If you do not come in agreement with his lies, guess what? You deny him access to your life. But as you begin to come into agreement with his lies, you give the devil, you give the enemy a seat at your table. You give him access to your life. Do not come into agreement with the lies of the devil. What are the lies that you've been listening to? What are the lies you've been believing? What are the lies that you've said, oh, it's always going to be this way? It's always going to be this way. You've been speaking death over your life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. When you speak it, you're giving the enemy power. My life is meaningless. It doesn't matter. You just gave him power. You just gave him power. What's he doing? He is speaking lies to you all the time. That's why Paul says, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. So when those lies come in and you speak them out loud and you let them just float around in your head and you don't make them obedient to God's word, to what he actually says about you, you are giving him access and permission. You're saying, yes, lion, you can come in. You may devour my life. Do not speak them out loud. Speak the truth of God back to the devil when he comes at you. Speak the truth of God back to the devil when he comes at you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your life does not matter. You are worthless. You are ugly. No, no, no. Devil, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't matter. You're powerless. Everyone's against you. Everyone hates you. If he is for me, who can be against me? Begin to speak the truth of God back to the devil. Do not give him access. Don't let him devour your life. When you come into agreement with your words, you are saying, you may devour. Your words matter. When Jesus cursed the fig tree because it was pretending to be something it wasn't. It had leaves, but it didn't have fruit. And then they came back the next day and the disciples saw it and it was dead. They're like, teacher, rabbi. He's like, yeah, I spoke it. I said it. And he told them, you will have what you say. You will have what you say. If you speak death over your kids, our kids never listen. They're always in trouble. They never do anything right. They're always mean. They're always angry. If you just keep speaking that, they're always. You'll have what you say. Parents, you'll have what you say. Well, my wife, she's this and she's this and she never does this and she. Husbands, you'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. You're the prophet of the home, husbands. Speak life over your wife. Even though you don't see it, declare it. You're a woman of God. I know who God has called you to be. I know who you can become. I know this isn't you. Wives, my husband doesn't even come to church with me. He never will. He never will. Begin to speak it by faith. Otherwise, you'll have what you say. He never will. I know he's coming. I'm believing. If it's not next Sunday, it's the Sunday after that. If it's not that Sunday, it's the Sunday after that. I don't know when, but in due season, God's going to make it happen because he's the God of miracles. And it'd be a miracle if my husband came to church. I believe in miracles. Yeah. I believe for you right now. I'm standing in the gap and I'm believing for you. My brother's never going to give his life to Jesus. He's never going to do it. He's never going to say yes. You'll have what you say. He's coming to Jesus. I don't know when, I don't know how, but in due season, he's going to give his life to the Lord. You can praise Jesus. You can praise him. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Somebody sat down with me this summer and they're like, are we a Word of Faith church? All these churches have these different labels. Like, we're a Word of Faith church, or we're a Full Gospel church, or we're a Charismatic church. I keep telling you guys, I don't care about the labels. We just follow God's word. What does God's word say? It says there's power. There's power in the tongue. And what you speak can bring life or death. Does that make us a Word of Faith church? Fine, sure. Tell all your friends, oh, they're a Word of Faith church. I don't care. I don't care. We just believe what his word says because I've seen it. I've seen death in relationships. I've seen hopelessness in marriages. I've seen things that were dead and God has resurrected because people chose to speak life over them. I've seen it. I've seen it. He's the God of resurrection. I've seen my kids' lives change over these last few years. I saw them going one direction, and now I see them going another direction. I see them drawing closer and closer to chasing after Jesus every day. I've seen it in my wife. I've seen it in our marriage. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in my friends. I've seen it in people. I've seen it in you guys in this house. There's so many testimonies in this house that people don't even know about, not even aware about. But I'm telling you, it starts with the tongue. Romans 10. Go to Romans 10. Word of faith, word, all this stuff. I get so bothered by it sometimes. Romans 10, 9. That if you confess with your, that if you confess with your, that if you confess with your, just come on. You got to really, that if you confess with your, what you speak matters. What you speak matters. That if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It changes you from death to life. Your words matter. They matter to the king. They matter to the king and they matter to the devil. Stop giving him permission to devour your life. Stop speaking curses over your life. Stop speaking death over your life and speak life over your life. He's the word of life. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. I don't feel a lot of faith. I don't feel, you know, I just don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like this is real. I don't feel. What are feelings? That's the soul. Lower your soul, lower your mind, submit to the Spirit. How do you submit to the Spirit? Begin to get his word inside of you and submit to his truth. Begin to speak his truth. And even though these things that you don't feel and you feel like your feelings are true, you feel like, oh, this is true. I feel it, so it must be true. The heart is deceitful above all things. Trust the word of God. You can stand on the word of God. Let him build your identity. Let him build your identity back up into who he says you are, not who the world says you are, not who your parents said you were, not who your friends said you were, not who your spouse said you were. We all have this identity that we've built and we live to perform and just we live to achieve because this is our identity, this is who we are. Die to it. Die to that false self, that false identity, and be raised new in Christ and submit yourself to him. Submit yourself to the Spirit of God. Yeah, God, we love you. We praise you. Yeah, Lord, we just want to hear your voice. We want to learn to listen to you in this season. God, I pray for anyone that is just feeling discouraged, just feeling down, that they wouldn't feel condemned or beat up, but they'd feel convicted and called, that they'd feel called higher in this next season, that they would just say yes, that they'd say yes to submitting their life to you, that they'd say yes to humbling themselves before you. Father God, I just ask that you would just teach us to love your ways more than our own, to love your word more than the world, that we would just learn to submit ourselves to your truth in every area of life. God, any place that we've been resisting you in pride, that pride would just be broken right now in your name, Jesus. And that we'll trust you to lift us up in the right season. Father, we just love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's stand. We're going to worship. If you need ministry today, if you need prayer, if you need to talk to somebody, our ministry team's going to be up here. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pride is unrighteous. I do feel a great resistance of pride still. Just release it today. Just release it. Lift up holy hands today in praise. As you lift up holy hands or as you bow to your knees, pride dies. As you submit yourself to God, pride dies. Submit yourself in worship to Him in this moment. Lift your hands, lift your voice, drop to your knees. Do something that you don't normally do as a physical sign of what is inwardly being transformed and renewed within you. When you take a physical step, spiritually, you are changed and transformed. Take a step today and submit yourself to Him. Let's worship Him.